Well, what a blessing to be here. I've heard about Bob Alexander and Barb for years. We're from Staten Island. Pastor Mel and Mrs. S. were my pastor. I joined First Bible Church in Staten Island when I was a senior in high school. That was 1983, I'm not ashamed to say. So that was a really long time ago. And I've never left. And it's been a blessing. But for so many years, Mrs. S. would talk about Bob and Barb and the church here in Kansas City. And the first time I actually got to meet everybody was on our 40th anniversary when a humongous group of you guys came up. And let me tell you, you changed our church and we had a great time. And then everybody who came for the 50th anniversary, what a blessing. And I'm just so glad that like we've gotten a chance to just, I don't know, get to know each other. And it's nice to be in fellowship with people that are like-minded and who love the Lord and have a heart to serve the Lord and love this book. And I hope today is a blessing. I got such a blessing out of the message yesterday and out of the Costa Rica, when they did that presentation and the slides, and then your pastor got up and he was talking about your ministry and the heart that you guys have, and those 4 points, flexibility, adaptability, conformability, I think it is, compatibility, and then dependability. And I sat in church and I was like, wow, that's really good. And then I started to meditate on, like, while my husband was talking, and the word flexibility just, I don't know, just kept coming back to me. And so that's what the Lord put on my heart this morning. And we'll start with a word of prayer. And just bear with my voice. I'm sorry. I mean, I didn't have strep throat. Patty Palmer, you have to thank, because the reason I actually have a voice is because Patty was my nurse who showed up at my door with medication and all kinds of stuff to help me feel better. And so praise the Lord for a sister who had a heart to, I don't know, just care for somebody else. Why don't we just start with a word of prayer and we'll begin. Thank you, Father, for this day. Thank you for your mercy and your goodness, Lord. Thank you for loving us. Thank you, Father, for assurance of a home in heaven, Lord, and not dependent upon us, Lord, or anything that we can do, Lord, but all that you've done for us. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would be honored and glorified and uplifted, Lord, that your name would be magnified, Lord, and that all men would be drawn closer to you, Lord. I pray for these ladies, for their hearts, for the needs in their hearts, Lord. You know those needs. And I pray that you would meet them, Lord, and that you would encourage them today, Lord. And Lord, that someday when we see you, Lord, we'll stand before you, Lord, together with a full set of rewards, Lord, having labored together, Lord. I pray, Father, that this day would be pleasing in your sight, that you guide the words out of my mouth, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who teaches us and shows us things from your word. And I pray, Lord, that Lord, I just ask, Father, for your help and your guidance. Lord, let me say nothing, Lord, that would not bring you honor and glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay. I looked up the word flexibility, and I was trying to find synonyms that you could use in comparison, because the word flexible is not in the Word of God. And faithful. Because being flexible is not something that's an easy thing to be. But it is a necessary thing as a wife, as a mother, as a woman. It doesn't matter if you're married or what role you have, a daughter, but being flexible is a wonderful characteristic to have. If you open up your Bibles to Romans chapter 12, I know it's a verse that we all probably know, but I don't know, I thought it kind of gave a good summary of what the word flexible might imply. Because flexibility is not weakness. It takes strength under God's authority to be flexible, to change on a dime, to be able to change your plans, change your thoughts. Missionaries, ministry, wife, mother, you've got plans for Christmas, your kid gets sick, you know what happens? You need to be flexible and life changes. You have where everybody's supposed to be going over, you know, your sister's house for Christmas dinner and her kids get sick and so now everybody's coming over your house and you didn't do the laundry and you didn't clean the kitchen because you thought you had extra time and you know what happens? You need to be flexible and figure it out. And Now, you could be flexible one of two ways. You could be flexible with a smile. You know what? And you could do it with trusting the Lord to direct your steps. Or you could be flexible with complaining and with a chip on your shoulder. Because, but either way, you're going to be flexible. One way or the other, you're going to have to do what you need to do. But Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, God's will is not separate things. God's will is perfect. His will is good. His will is acceptable, right? It's all of those things. It's not separate wills of God. But God has a will for our lives, and sometimes that requires us to be flexible. So I'm flexible in four particular different ways is the way that what the Lord put on my heart. Flexible in your location, flexible in your expectations in life, flexible in your ministry roles, and flexible in timing. And I took some women from the Word of God who the Lord had used those particular things and put in their life. Ruth, if you turn to Ruth chapter 1, Ruth was flexible in direction. Now, I know we all look at Ruth, and she was a wonderful woman, wonderful daughter-in-law, and she loved Naomi. Right? Married to her son. He died. The famine back in Israel was over, and now Naomi, who has nothing, she has no husband, she has no children, Ruth, and the other daughter-in-law, whose name fails me at the moment, have no husband, they have no children, they have nothing, right? And they're Moabites, so they're not even Jews. And Ruth is faced with, what do I do? All right? Ruth chapter 1, if you look at verse 16, says, "And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." Ruth gave up at that moment. Have you ever been in a position where in your mind you know what the Lord would have you to do? You are convinced, you're have a conviction that this is what you're supposed to do, and somebody's like, no, you don't have to come. No, stay home. It's all right. You know what? You don't feel good. You've worked all week. Stay home. You don't have to go hand out tracts today. You know you're tired and you really don't feel like going to hand out tracts. You know that it's what you should do, or you know that, you know, you really should make that visit. But you know what? It's somebody else, so-and-so went the other day. But in the back of your mind, it's you know what you're supposed to do. That's how I feel Ruth was. At this point, Naomi's trying to tell her, no, I got nothing to give you. There's nothing I could do for you. Even in the same chapter in verse 11, Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters, why will ye go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And say, Naomi's not trying to be mean. Those voices, your friends, your family, your neighbors, other brothers or sisters in Christ, who they're not trying to be mean. They're not even trying to, sometimes it's even just out of compassion and care. But you know in your heart what the Lord would have you to do. Ruth was set. She was like, you know what? This is my mother-in-law. This is my family. I'm going where you go. And in that flexibility to move, because Naomi, she could have stayed. She could have stayed in Moab. She didn't have to move. The sons died. She could have stayed with her daughter-in-laws. She could have just made her life there, but she knew that she needed to go back home. Her decisions were her decisions. And Ruth was flexible. Ruth wanted to be faithful with what God had put in her heart. And she's like, your God is going to be my God. Your home is going to be my home. Your people are going to be my people. And she was not going to be talked out of that. But in so doing, sometimes flexibility, you don't know, like maybe your husband wants to be a missionary and your location is going to change. Maybe he's lost a job and you've had to move out of your home and now your home is smaller. Maybe your job changed, your whatever it quite possibly might be, insert whatever in far as location is concerned. And if we don't trust the Lord to direct our steps and direct our lives, because sometimes on a mission field, I mean, the group that went to Costa Rica, you know, they got there and it was, okay, well, we're going to do this today, but maybe, no, we have to change. It rained, and so we're going to do this. No matter what ministry or where you are in your life as sisters in Christ, as daughters of the King, you need to be able to follow whatever the Lord has for your life. Whatever it is that his plan is, wherever it is that he wants you to go, are you willing to go where he wants you to go? Sometimes it's just the corner store where you need to hand out a gospel tract. Sometimes it's your cousin who you haven't seen. You know that still small voice in the back of your head? Well, you know God is trying to tell you to do something, but you're supposed to go to have tea with your friends. And God's like, no, you need to make this phone call or you need to do this. I need to have a heart willing to allow God to move me and to use me wherever he needs for me to go. Sometimes it's, you know, whatever store it might be, whatever where my journey might take me, my heart needs to be open and willing and ready for God to move me and use me wherever he would have me to go. But in that yielding, Ruth gave up her homeland. Ruth was not a Jew. Her mindset did not think like the rest of the Jewish women thought. She didn't dress probably like the rest of the Jewish women dressed, didn't eat the same foods because she didn't have the same restrictions. She had a different culture. There was a lot that Ruth yielded and gave up in order to be flexible to allow the Spirit of God to direct her steps. Familiarity. I mean, the Bible doesn't necessarily say, but what if she had a mom, a dad, a brother, a sister? Like, all of that, she left to follow what it was that God was telling her to do. And she wasn't going to be talked out of it. Not that we're not supposed to take counsel. Not that you're not supposed to take instruction. But when you know that there's something that God would have you to do, or if God is moving your home, your husband, your family, we need to be willing to let God direct our steps to wherever it is that he would have us to go. You know what happened? When Ruth was obedient to what God wanted her to do, God gave her protection. He gave her a Boaz. He gave her a husband who was willing to fight for her with another kinsman redeemer who was first in line. He was willing to share his property and his home with somebody who wasn't of the same nationality. He was willing to do what was right. Could you imagine having a husband who was willing to do what his Savior told him to do, to love you? That's a blessing. That's what she got. God gave her fruitfulness because now she had a son. God gave her children. She had a home. She got a husband. She had children. And she was placed in the lineage of Jesus Christ. How cool is that? She could have... Oh, well, all right, Naomi, you know what? You don't want me to go. All right, well, okay. I know I should go, and I know it's the right thing to do, but all right, you know what? You talked me into it. Don't let anybody talk you out of what you know God is telling you to do. Don't let anybody suggest to you that when that still small voice is telling you to move, follow it, because the other side of it is nothing but blessing. Be flexible enough for God to move you, for God to change your plans in the midst of those things that you have already set. Right? You could have made all kinds of preparations and God's like, no, I want you to go this way. Because you don't know what's on the other end. You don't know what he's protecting you from. Ruth was flexible. She's a great example of somebody who was blessed because she followed what God wanted her to do. So God may ask you to leave your comfort. He might ask you to leave your comfort zone. He might ask you to do something. You know, I have some ladies in in the discipleship program. And so with the ladies that I'm discipling, I just finished discipling three young ladies. They were friends. And so they were teenagers. And I thought it would be cool to do it together. But in the midst of this, I'm like, okay, I took them to the park and we went out and handed out gospel tracts, just the four of us. And they're like, we don't need a man, we don't need that. I'm like, we're just gonna go, we're gonna go. My husband said it was okay, so we have permission. We're going to the park and we're gonna hand it out to the older gentlemen that are playing skee ball. And what a blessing that was. Then we went and we made dinner for a woman who had just had a baby, and I didn't cook. I told him, you guys come with the recipes, we're gonna go shopping, and then you're gonna cook it. And then we're gonna go and go visit. And I took them out of their comfort zone because their questions were, yeah, but we're just kids. I'm like, that doesn't matter. When does service and being a blessing to somebody else start? Who said, God said to Timothy, let no man despise thy youth, right? And so it doesn't matter your age. Be willing to come out of your comfort zone for God to use you. And then be willing to serve without recognition, right? Be willing to serve in obscurity, if you will. It doesn't matter if nobody knows what you've done. It doesn't matter if anybody has seen. God sees everything. You can't give a cup of water in his name and God be in your debt. Right? There's nothing you can do that God's not going to see, that he won't reward you, whether it's down here or it's in heaven. But when you do it for his glory and for his honor, wow, you never lose. It's a win-win. So faithfulness in following often comes before fruitfulness in seeing results. Ruth did not know that a husband and a child awaited her. All she knew was that Naomi was too old to have kids. She didn't go looking for the reward. She didn't go to get patted on the back. She went to be faithful. So faithfulness in following often comes before fruitfulness in seeing results. Flexibility for this says, Lord, I'll go even if I don't see it. Take that leap of faith. Be willing to be flexible enough to take that leap of faith. If you turn to Esther chapter 4, Esther is another good example. So that was Ruth, who was flexible in location. Esther was flexible in risk, because sometimes being obedient, scary. Did you ever go, like, I admit it, boldness is not necessarily part of my normal character without Jesus Christ. When I was a kid, I would be up here, and when I'm nervous, I break out in giggles. Yeah, some people cry, some people faint, I laugh. Laugh to the point that I can't speak. I'm very glad that God took care of that, because that was a bad one. But sometimes being obedient can be scary. So boldness not being part of my natural character, we're handing out gospel tracts. It's very easy to hand out gospel tracts to the cute women or to the little old ladies. But when you have those big, scary people, or a group of teenagers, unsaved, rowdy teenagers, have you ever had God put that voice where it's like, yeah, 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 go over there? I'm like, oh, no, God, I'm not going. He's like, no, 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 go. I mean, I openly, to my shame, have admitted, it's like, Lord, I can't do it. I get, like, and have walked away in fear. But sometimes being obedient can be a scary thing. And I've walked over to a couple of those groups of teenagers and found out that they were the nicest people and said, thank you. Oh, wow, my mother is saved. What church do you go to? They just, we're looking for a church. And it turns out to be something so different than what you ever anticipated it to be. Esther, look at chapter 4, verse 14. Now, she was faced with a very difficult circumstance. First of all, she became queen of no choice of her own, put into this whole rigmarole to be prepared to be chosen, and then the wife of a king of a different nationality to a group of people who they're not sure if they even like her people, right? So verse 14, it says, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement, and let me stop for a second, just in case there's people who don't know what I'm talking about, where we're at this. When Esther became queen, and there was a man named Haman who hated the Jews, and from behind the scenes, deceived the king into having, on a certain date, the people be able to go out and kill the Jews, take their property and kill them. Esther being queen, her uncle encouraged her to go and talk to the king to see if she could, on the behalf of the Jews, plead their cause. And so here's where she's at. Now, this is where they're at, and he's talking, because her uncle is telling her, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer: "Go, gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish." And I know we always stop on the thing that says, "for such a time as this." I mean, sometimes you're in a place to be used of God for such a time of this, right? For whatever, to hand out a gospel tract, to bring somebody medicine at their door, whatever it quite possibly might be for such a time as this. But would you knock on the door if you could perish? Would you be willing to hand out the gospel tract to somebody of a different religion who might kill you if you were in it, if the Lord told you to do it? Right? And for this, the flexibility was, "and if I perish, I perish," because she had to be willing to sacrifice her life. Because to come before the king and not be called, the result was that you were killed. You had to be summoned. Even though she was the queen and she was his wife, she had to be summoned. And without being summoned, she couldn't just come before the king. And she hadn't been called in a while. And so her uncle was like, "You need to go, because the salvation of the nation of Israel is going to happen," or not the nation, but of the Jews that were in the city, in the, they would be saved. He believed that they were either going to be saved because of her, or God was going to make another way. And he said, "But if it's not you, then, you know, don't, no guarantee that your family is going to be saved." She had a lot riding on the thing, so she did the first right thing. Right? When you're afraid, "What time I am afraid," David said, "I will trust in thee." Right? Sometimes being flexible and being obedient can be scary. So what should you do? You should pray. She stopped and she asked some people to pray. She asked them to fast and to pray and said, "Go, fast and pray. And then on this day, I'm going to go before the king. And I'm going to go and be obedient, even though I might still be afraid. And I'm going to trust God to do whatever comes next." Because to be outside of God's will, even if she was to perish, she would have been in the Lord's will. But to not do it because she was afraid would have been worse, even if her life was saved. She yielded her safety. She put it on the line and was like, "This is not important, because safety is of the Lord. The horse is prepared for battle, but safety is of the Lord. I could do all the preparations I need to do," it says in Proverbs, "but ultimately my life is in the Lord's hands," right? "It's appointed unto men once to die, and after this," right? The judgment. So I have a day that I'm going to heaven. It doesn't matter what happens. And if it happens to be that day, well, then that was the day. But God decides when I go home, right? She put her safety on the line. She yielded her silence and her self-preservation, right? She put herself, the Bible says, to take up your cross and follow him, right? She denied her own self and trusted the Lord. And the result of that is God used her courage to save a nation. God used her and elevated her influence. And we're still talking about Esther today, right? And God used her in a mighty way. There are moments in your life. Ministry is not just being up here talking to you ladies. Ministry is taking care of your husband. Ministry is taking care of your children. Ministry is in whatever service the Lord has you, being a good and faithful daughter, being a good person, whether you're a nurse, whether you work at a convenience store, it doesn't matter. Wherever God puts you, you know, it's a mission conference, and the Bible tells us to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, right? To your Jerusalem. Do you know that you're an ambassador for Christ? Well, all everybody in this room, the minute you got saved, you're a missionary, because God called you to minister to your neighbors. So each one of us is a missionary. What kind of missionary you are, whether you're a secret agent missionary, you know, so nobody knows, you know, keep it hidden under my hat. It only comes out when, you know, it's convenient for my safety. Don't be a secret agent Christian, right? Be a missionary who's just out there, right? If a man love God, the same is known of him. Be that type of missionary. That the way you love your Savior, people will know, well, I want what they have. I don't know what they have, but, you know, they always have a smile on their face. They always are kind to one another. You know, there's any young girls in here, or if you're not married, you know, how you obey your parents is a huge testimony to your neighbors, to your relatives, to the people around you. How you wives talk to your husbands around your unsaved relatives. How you deal with your kids. I mean, I know, sometimes husbands can be difficult. I know there's men in the room, not you two. Sometimes men can be difficult, right? And so sometimes it requires a little bit of grace, right? My prayer is, Lord, guard my tongue. Like, may my speech be always with grace, seasoned with the salt of his word, right? Because I'm a sinner. Sometimes, you know, you wake up, you got a headache, you don't feel good, you're running around, and it's easy to be snippy. You know what? What's your response to the fact that you were just snippy? Look, babe, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it that way. I just heard the way that sounded. Didn't mean that. You know what I'm saying? Take time to be a good missionary, because everybody is always watching. I'll tell you a quick story. I used to live in an apartment on the north side of Staten Island, me and my girls. It's before my husband and I got married. And take my kids to church, and you know, anybody, it might just be me, but anybody else have crazy Sunday mornings? Sunday mornings, for some reason, I think the devil is wide awake, and Sunday mornings are the craziest time. You can't go in my house because there's clothes and dishes, and no matter how much you organize, my Sunday mornings are crazy. But anyway, and month after month, me and the girls are just going to church. Didn't live in a neighborhood where you know your neighbors automatically. And so I, you know, you wave, you say hi, and then you go on your merry way. And this one particular Sunday morning, I was parked across the street from my house, not in front of my house. And I went to go get the car, and the neighbor was mowing his lawn. And I'm putting my Bible in the car, and I'm waiting for the kids to come out. And he's like, oh, good morning. I'm like, oh, good morning. How are you today? Nice day to mow your lawn. Yada-da-da-da. And you're doing the small talk. And he's like, oh, so you go to church on Sundays? And I'm like, yeah. He's like, well, what church do you go to? He says, I see the kids all the time. They always look nice when they're going. And I got in the car. We had a nice little chat. I invited him to church. I gave him a track. And I got in the car, and I asked the Lord to help me never forget that. You don't know what your neighbors see. You don't know who's watching. And I can tell you, everybody's always watching. Somebody is watching at all times, because you know what your neighbors do. You see who comes and goes, and you're not looking, but you see who comes and goes. And all I thought of was, Lord, forgive me if at any point in time I've been in too much of a hurry and I'm not watching how I speak, watching how I conduct myself. Let me be that light to my neighbors, to be flexible enough, if you will, to put me aside when I'm out in public, to watch how I conduct myself so that I am a good ambassador for Christ, right? Esther, there are moments in your life where silence might be safer, right? But obedience is required, right? The Bible says, in 1 Samuel, it says, to obey is better than sacrifice, right? God gets more glory and joy out of you being obedient. So I have another lady who was involved in ministries on Saturday, the nursing home ministries. And her and her husband ended up in an argument, and she came for counsel. And she was like, but I don't understand. He wanted me to stay, but this is important. This is my ministry. And I had to tell her, you know what? That person might have gotten saved, but you're not getting any rewards for that, because he's your ministry. And God wants you to be obedient, and God would have gotten more glory, and you would have gotten more joy and more rewards if you had done what he asked than if you had stamped your foot and said, but this is mine and I'm going to do this. Right? Be flexible to do what God wants you to do, to be obedient to what God has asked you to do. Not just, I mean, maybe you want to be a missionary. Maybe you're hoping someday you marry a pastor or that you're in the ministry. It starts from being willing to be obedient to God in the small things. Because I can tell you, in any woman who's married to a pastor, it's not that easy. There is a lot of work and a lot of sacrifices, and your life changes on a dime, right? And you need to be willing to allow God to lead and allow God to move your husband wherever it is that he wants to move him. Right? For such a time as this, moments often feel terrifying before they feel triumphant. Don't be afraid to let God move you. Be flexible, even if it's out of your comfort zone. And then she's my favorite, Mary. I was telling my husband when I was telling him what the Lord had given me, and I'm like, you know, I think sometimes, maybe it's just me because I grew up a Catholic. I got saved at the age of 9, but I was a Catholic before that. And so you kind of shy away from Mary because you don't want anybody to think that, like, oh, okay, well, I'm not worshiping Mary. This is not like I'm putting her on a pedestal. But you know what? This was an incredible woman. You know, the angel came to John the Baptist's father, right? And this is a man who was in the scriptures. He worked in the temple, and he knew that someday the Messiah was going to be coming. He was actually in the temple laboring and doing his time of service. And he was in there for an extended period of time, and the angel came and said, you're going to have a son, and he's going to eat locusts and wear crazy clothes and be out in the wilderness, but he's going to go and prepare the way for the Messiah to come. And it's not, he should have been like, oh, wow, I know that scripture. I know that that's what God had prophesied. He was like, wait a minute. How and when and where and how and why? And God's like, okay, you know what? You didn't have faith. I'm still going to do what I'm going to do. And when he came out, he lost his voice until the baby was born, right? He lost his voice until he had enough obedience to write, you know, we're not going to name him after my father, your father, his father. We're going to name him John because that's what God told me to name him. And then he got his voice back. Now you insert Mary, who got visited by an angel also in her house. She's a young woman. And her response to this, open your Bible to Luke chapter 1. This is an incredible, like she doesn't have to, like you think, okay, if there was UFOs and there was crazy things that happened, you know, you and I have been so desensitized between movies and crazy stuff in the news and nonsense that goes around that, you know, we'd probably be maybe a little afraid. I don't think it would shake us. I don't think it would move us. Well, she's not, has no television. There's no, you know, Wi-Fi, there's no way to communicate. So all of this, you have your Bible, you have your family, you have what's in front of you, and an angel comes, right? I don't know. And her response to this, look at verse 38, Luke chapter 1, verse 38. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Talk about being willing to be flexible. You know, women today sometimes have babies out of wedlock, okay? Babies are always a blessing. The circumstances of which they come in, sometimes God's people have to repent, get their life right. The babies are always a blessing, right? But you and I don't think much of it. It's not that we don't look and try to encourage somebody to get their life together and you know. But 100 years ago, a woman having a child out of wedlock, right? Just think about what the shame, take her somewhere else and hide her until, give the baby away. Do you know what I'm saying? And forever that person is labeled with shame. Now put it 2,000 years prior to that. Okay, this was a scary thing that God was asking this woman. And her response was, be it as you, I'm your handmaid according to thy word. Wow. I feel like this was a woman who was of ultimate willingness to be flexible. She's engaged to Joseph, and then God goes and prepares Joseph to tell him, look, 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 this is of God. Take her to be your wife. Now they go to Bethlehem. I mean, why was there no room? Why were they not staying with their family? I mean, I don't, do you ever think about that? Like, I know there's no room in the inn, but why are you going to an inn and not to your family if you're going back to where the census is supposed to be taken from where your family is from? So why didn't mom, dad, sister, brother, uncle take Joseph and his new bride in? And they ended up in a stable. Do you know? Oh, but her willingness to be flexible, to hear what God wanted her to do, without question, God sent her Elizabeth. John's father got nobody. He went a whole year with no voice, right? She got an Elizabeth, right? Went to Elizabeth. She was only a couple of months pregnant. and Elizabeth was almost due, and she got comfort. She got confirmation that the baby in your womb was of God. God just, he took care of her. He blessed her. But she yielded her reputation. She knew what was coming, right? And then even after Jesus was grown, they referred to him, you know, in light of the fact that he was born out of wedlock, right? She yielded her understanding, okay? Whatever was according to your will, I'm willing to do. And she yielded control over her life. I'm your handmaiden, do with as you will. Wow. I want to be that person. I want to be that person who God can say whatever it is that he wants me to do and do it with that heart, right? To be flexible as a wife, as a mother, as a daughter, as a sister. Because whether you're in a Costa Rica, the Dominican Republic, Australia, wherever it quite possibly might be, you're a missionary right here to Kansas City, to Lee Summit. You're a missionary right here. I'm a missionary to Staten Island. Right? My responsibility is to be that light, that gospel message to my neighbors, to the people at ShopRite and Costco and wherever it is that the Lord sends me. Be willing to, like, Lord, direct my steps. Send me to the right store today. I got to get my mother milk. Send me to the right store. Be willing to be used of God with a smile on your face. I want that attitude. I want that heart in my flexibility. And you know what God gave her? He gave her the greatest privilege ever entrusted to a woman. Behold, this day in the city of David, a Savior is born, right? I didn't have any angels when my kids were born. There wasn't no flocks of trumpets, right? I mean, what a great privilege to be a mom, but to be the vessel that God sent his son, even to save her soul. Right? And then throughout her life, Mary had no words. She just pondered these things in her heart, the Bible says. She just took it and pondered these things in her heart, because sometimes there's just no words. And then she watched her son be crucified. She watched him die. And then she had the sincere, amazing privilege of knowing that he raised from the dead 3 days later, right? To save her soul. Wow. Can you imagine the day that she met her Savior, that she met God in heaven? No shame, no sorrow, right? Yeah, I took care of him. I did what you asked me to do. I don't know. Mary is an amazing woman. In ministry, sometimes women are often misunderstood, right? Sometimes women can often be misunderstood in the way that we serve. Oftentimes, criticism comes as a result of being in ministry. You should have done it this way. You should have done it that way. Mother-in-laws, why you're spanking your kids? You should have done that way. Why won't you let them watch television? Of course, there's nothing wrong with that movie. You should put them in public school. Whatever it might be, because your ministry is your family, your husband, whatever it is that the Lord puts you, wherever it is that you are, that's your ministry for the day, ministry for your life. Be Ruth, be faithful and willing to be moved wherever God wants you to be moved. Be Esther, be brave, even when life is scary. Be Mary, that even when you don't understand, you're willing to trust God with your life, your circumstances, because God honors quiet submission, right? God honors that submission that's quiet. He's not looking for the public approval. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. I need to know what God thinks. I need to know what this book says, and am I obedient to this book? Do I have peace? It says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Right? Do I have peace about the decisions and the things that God has asked me to do? Have I prayed about my decisions with my children, with my home, with my family? Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. And 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. There are rewards that you don't even know are coming. And then I'll do this part fix quick, because my lesson was flexible or fixed, right? Are you a flexible person, or are you somebody who is, I'm not moving? In the Bible, you see both. Ruth, Esther, Mary, women who were willing to be flexible and used of God. Then you have Lot's wife. I mean, how simple was it just not to look back? I mean, seriously, like, you couldn't just go forward. You heard what was going on, and she could not keep her eyes in the right place. Lot's wife. And it came to pass when they had brought them forth abroad, Genesis chapter 19, verse 17, and I'll move quicker, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. He said, look not behind thee. So what did she do 8 verses later? But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. I don't know if there's a greater lesson. She was unwilling to leave to begin with, that the angels had to come and grab the whole family and get them out. And then she was unwilling to be obedient, right? She resisted the commands of God. She resisted counsel. And she resisted her own flesh and did what she wanted to do. She got immediate judgment, and she is an example of what not to do. That's what her testimony and her application is, right? Sometimes when God wants us to move, we want to hold on to what we have, and we don't want to let it go. Don't be Lot's wife. When God wants to move you, let it go, because God has greater things for you. Whether it's here on this earth or it's up in heaven, God has better things for you. Don't be Lot's wife. She was longing for easier things and didn't want to do or move. I don't want to go to that place, so maybe I could just look for one more second. And she lost everything. Philippians, looking back hinders moving forward. When you hold on to the past, the future looks bleak. It doesn't matter what yesterday held. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul said, I let it go. I count it but dung. The past is the past. You can't change it. It doesn't matter if you made mistakes. It doesn't matter if you did things right. It doesn't matter if you had huge successes and victories. That was yesterday. There might be better victories today. Right? Don't hold on to yesterday like Lot, and look back and lose the future. Michael is another sad one in the Bible. She breaks my heart. That was David's wife. Michael had a really hard life, daughter of King Saul. And King Saul, basically, because he thought she was a difficult daughter, kind of gave her to David to annoy him and to be a thorn in his flesh. But Michael loved David. She absolutely loved him, the Bible said. And then even so much so that she risked her life to save him and help him escape. And there is the part that I don't understand. Why she didn't go with him? Why didn't you just climb out the window with him? But she didn't. And it was a long time before she saw David again, right? And in the meantime, David took a couple of wives. But when, and then her father gave her to another man. But when David became king and came back, one of the first things he did was, no, that's my wife. Because I honestly feel that David must have loved her. David must have had a heart for her. He was like, that's my wife. And he went and he got Michael back. Okay, Michael was a prideful, inflexible woman who, instead of realizing and understanding, yes, I am married to this man. This was the man that I married. This is the man my husband, my father gave me to. And when she was in the palace, David got her back. She's in the palace. And if you open up your Bibles to 2 Samuel chapter 6, and we're almost done. Look at verse 20. I don't know, she's just a sad woman. I feel like some of her life was just out of her hands. Okay, sometimes maybe there's circumstances in your life that is out of your control. Maybe there's situations that, like, you're stuck in, and you would have chosen to be in another situation, another place, another time. And the only thing that you can control is your response to this. That was Michael's example to us, how to respond in situations that were out of her control. And she is an example of somebody who was not flexible, who was fixed in her thinking, stuck in her pride, and she lost everything. 2 Samuel chapter 6, look at verse 20. It says, then David returned to bless his household, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David. David went the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of, was, la, la, la. The Ark with the mercy seat was not in Israel. They had tried to get it before. They put it on the cart. It fell off. Uzziah was killed, and took a couple of months before they went and got it back. Now they have it back. They made the posts. It's coming back into Israel. Israel is ecstatic. This nation is on fire. They are rejoicing. David is dancing. He might look like a loony, right? He might be dancing crazy, but he is dancing. He is excited. This is a spiritual moment for the nation of Israel. This is a victory for King David, for Michal's husband. Now, verse 20, it says, then David returned to bless his household after this, after he had come in, and Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, how glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovereth himself. She mocked him. She didn't say, wow, praise the Lord, did you see that they got saved? She was mad she was in the palace. She was unhappy that where she was, circumstances that she couldn't change, and her response was to complain. Her response was to look at her husband and make fun of him. And the result? And David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all his house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord, over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord, and I will yet be more vile than thus, and will be as base in mine own sight. He's like, God did this. God chose me. God did this, and I'm going to rejoice. I'll embarrass myself. I'll be less than you, more than you. It doesn't matter. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. And of thy maidservants which thou hast spoken of them shall I be had in honor. Therefore Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no child unto the day of her death. What a sad statement. He ended up removing her from the palace, never to have her return. She never had a child of her own. And the only children that she cared for were her nephews, if you will. It was Saul's sons' children who she was caring for. And then one of the nations who wanted payback for Saul being mean to them, right, said, look, we need some vengeance here. We need some payback for what he did. And David's like, well, what do you want? And he's like, well, I want his kids. And so even the kids that she was caring for ended up being hung. She lost everything. No children, no husband, no anything. Being inflexible for her, being fixed in her mind and having the wrong response to a circumstance out of her control cost her everything. Barrenness, no husband. She valued her dignity over devotion. She valued her own thoughts and her own, the way that she was viewed in people's eyes more than she did her husband. She criticized her husband's spiritual passion. Maybe your husband reads his Bible more than you. Maybe you're trying to figure it out. Don't shoot your husband in the foot. Don't shoot your sister in the foot. Do you ever have those people who, like, they just started to get their life excited about the Lord? Well, you know, and I'm not going to go here. I'm not going to go there. And then you hear the people making fun of them. Well, what? She's all of a sudden going to be spiritual? What, she thinks she's better than us? Oh, encourage one another as sisters in Christ. If you see somebody who's trying to get their life back on track and they're just trying to figure it out, don't be that person. Encourage them. Pray for them. How does you and I can look at Michal? Don't compare your home to somebody else's home. Don't compare your ministry to somebody else's ministry. Don't compare your walk to somebody else's walk. Michal was angry because she didn't want to be where she was. She was bitter and could not get over the way her life went, and she ended up losing everything. Right? Bitterness is an ugly, ugly, ugly quality to have, and the Bible says that it affects even others, not just yourself. Pride dried up her spiritual fruitness. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. So you have two sets of women. You have flexible women who trusted God, yielded their personal rights, and obeyed without full understanding of what God's plan was. God doesn't owe us an explanation. Did you ever tell your kids, I don't have to tell you why, just do it, right? I don't owe my kids an explanation. Maybe the older they get, you might, but God doesn't, he doesn't have to tell us what he's doing. There are some things that go on in this world that I just don't understand, but I trust that God's ways are not my ways, that his ways are higher than my ways. His thoughts, thank God that God doesn't think like I think, right? And then respond upon those thoughts. And the result of those flexible women was blessing, fruitfulness, and a lasting testimony. Women that you and I might attain to be, to have some of their characteristics. Those women who were fixed in their walk, they clung to their fear. I mean, even think about it. They weren't even happy. You even have Jezebel. Jezebel was not a happy woman, right? She was not a happy woman. The Bible says in, you don't have to turn it, but 1 Kings 21:25, but there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred up. Oh, I don't want to be that wife. I don't want to be that person. But she encouraged him to do evil. She encouraged him to worship idols. She encouraged him to take the field of the people around him. Right? She encouraged him to be a horrible man. But that did not make her a happy woman. Don't be fooled. Satan's a liar. Being fixed and stubborn and bitter and prideful, even if in your mind you think you're right, there's no good that comes at the end of that. The Bible says to trust him with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct your paths. God's not so busy that he doesn't know your name or know what's going on. But if you're obedient and faithful and willing to be used and willing to be flexible for God to move you in whatever way, there's nothing but blessings on the other side of that, even if it's difficult, even if it's hard. Inflexible women, they clung to fear, pride, and control. They resisted correction. Because if you look at all of those women, God kept trying to direct them in the right way. And the result was loss, barrenness, loneliness, and eventually judgment. James 4:6 says, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. He'll give you grace if you come to him. And so I want to leave you with this. Take a moment and ask yourself, what am I resisting right now? Is this something that God wants me to do, to change, to be, and I'm fighting him? I had to do that yesterday. I was sitting here listening to this, and I'm like, Lord, am I flexible? Am I willing to be adaptable to circumstances? I mean, sometimes, I mean, my husband lost his leg. Let me tell you about change of circumstances. That's a change of circumstances. That one took some time. But God is a great God, and he gives grace. He doesn't ever give a trial or circumstances where he's not willing to give you grace to walk through that trial or that circumstance. Think to yourself, what am I holding on to too tightly? What are you unwilling to let go that God can't move you? That God can't move your husband because you won't let go. What would obedience look like today? Am I being obedient? These are questions I asked myself. And then ask God for yielded spirit. Ask God for a flexible heart and courage to obey without guarantees. God doesn't owe me. I have heaven. My name is written in permanent ink. I know what I think. I know the thoughts that go on in my head. And the fact that I'm going to heaven someday amazes me more than I could possibly say. I know who I am, and I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I'm going to heaven. And I know for a fact that if I was to die right now, I'm going to wake up in the arms of a loving Savior, and it has nothing to do with me. That's really cool. God doesn't owe me anything else. The most powerful woman in God's service is the one who has fully surrendered. Be that powerful woman. I hope that was a blessing. And I don't know if Jamie, you want to close us in prayer? And thank you.